Hey there, and it's time for another 13 o'clock movie retrospective.
That's right, we're going to retrospect. We're going to look back on it. And it's Total Recall.
Yes, the 1990 version, not the remake, which sucked, by the way.
Yeah, there's only one Total Recall, and it's the original.
We did see the remake, but I don't even remember all that much about it, frankly. It didn't make much of an impression.
Yeah, that's bad when it doesn't make any impression on you.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember if we'd seen it or not.
Very generic. This one here, that has a lot of character in this one, though.
I remember, it's funny because I hadn't seen it for a really long time, and then we watched it like a couple of days ago because Tom got it on Blu-ray. And I didn't like it as much as I did originally.
Yeah.
But it's still like a really good movie. Like, it still holds up pretty good. Like, some of the effects still kind of look a little bit dodgy.
Yeah, I remember it looked kind of futuristic when it first came out. But you look at it now, and it came out in 1990.
Yeah.
And you look at it, and it looks like 1994.
Yeah, because I'm like watching it going, everybody looks like extras on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. I remember the clothes being futuristic for the time. Yeah. But then you look at it and you're like, no, that's what they were wearing in like 93, 94.
Yeah, because there was still like some lingering 80s influence because everyone's hair was big and there was like some kind of aerobics looking shit going on.
It almost makes you wonder if the clothes were product placement for a new clothing line that was coming out in JCPenney's or something.
It might have been because there was a lot of product placement in that movie. A lot. Yeah. And, you know. But now the interesting thing about Total Recall is that it's actually kind of surprising that it even got made.
Yeah, it was in development hell for a while.
Yeah, because like evidently this fucking script had been making the rounds of Hollywood for like years, and it went through like 40 different drafts.
Yeah.
Right? And like Dino De Laurentiis owned the property for a long time, and it went around a different... Now, originally, David Cronenberg was supposed to direct it, which I would pay good money to see that shit. He should still do that. David Cronenberg, call me. So, but so then that didn't happen. Like, he wrote 12 different drafts and worked on it for like a year, and then that didn't work out. You know, there was just all this shit about it. And
the movie never would have happened if it wasn't for Arnie.
Yeah, because at this point, there had been so many, and I don't really think any studios were just like, fuck it, Dino De Laurentiis lost interest.
Yeah.
He's just like, we can't get a good script going for this, and it's just not worth it. And evidently, Arnold Schwarzenegger really, really wanted to be in this movie.
Yeah.
Now, he actually, I think he auditioned for it when Dino De Laurentiis still owned the property and was turned down.
Right.
Because, see, in the original story, I mean, I'm sure most of you know, but it's based on a Philip K. Dick story called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, which was published in 1966. And in the original story, the main character, who his last name was Quayle, not Quaid, like in the movie, was actually not like a big burly construction worker. He was more of like a nebbishy everyman kind of character. Yeah. He was an accountant and stuff like that.
Nerd.
Yeah, he was kind of a more of a nerdy character. So I think that was originally the direction they were going in, and they didn't really want Arnold Schwarzenegger being in it because they didn't see him as right for the role. It should also be noted that Arnold Schwarzenegger had also wanted to be in RoboCop, but was also turned down for that.
That'd have been awesome.
I know. It actually would have been pretty good. But I can't imagine it with anybody other than Peter Weller. And Peter Weller in it. So,
I don't know. I could imagine Arnold in that role.
Yeah, but
I don't think it would be good. But
no, it would be too Terminator-y.
Yeah.
I think it would just, it's basically the same role as that.
Yeah.
But
Arnold was becoming a parody of himself.
Yeah. So Arnold wanted to do Total Recall so bad that he talked this production company into buying the rights off Dino De Laurentiis. And he said, if you buy the rights off this, then I'll star in it. And actually, Arnold got a great deal of creative control over the movie. Like, he got to assign the director. He got to pick the other actors. He got to approve the script. All the shit.
Right.
And he got 15%. Like, not only did he get several million dollars salary, but he also got like 15% of the box office or something like that.
Yeah, so it was Arnold's pet project.
Yeah, it really
was. So it was like his movie.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it eventually ended up getting made. And he actually did choose Paul Verhoeven to direct it, who also directed RoboCop. And Paul Verhoeven had turned him down for being in RoboCop. So, but for some reason, he really wanted to work with Paul Verhoeven. Yeah. So he picked him to...
Arnie wasn't personal about it. He didn't take it personally.
Yeah.
He was all about business.
Yeah. Okay. So now, as I said, the original story that this was based on, and then after the movie came out, there was also a novelization of it, which was actually written by Piers Anthony, who's like a pretty famous fantasy writer. Now, both the original story and the novelization are a lot less ambiguous than the 1990 film was.
Yeah, for years there's always been this controversy. Was Total Recall a hallucination? Was it a dream? Or did he actually do this stuff?
Right.
So that's, you know, when you see the movie, you understand, and most of you have probably seen the movie.
Yeah, because in the original story, which didn't have the whole spy angle and all that other kind of stuff, you know, it did have the kind of hallucination implanted memories kind of deal, but it was a different quote-unquote hallucination. Now, but in the original Philip K. Dick story, it was made clear that it was not a hallucination, that all this stuff that he remembered, this crazy stuff about aliens and stuff like that, actually did happen. And I believe that the novelization that was based on the 1990 movie also made it clear that it really happened. However, the movie, and I don't care if you want to argue with me in this about this in the comments, but the movie, I think, was a dream.
Yeah.
It was implanted memory. He didn't really go to Mars. He didn't really do any of that shit.
They left a lot of hints that kind of left it ambiguous, but because those hints are there, it's a hallucination.
Yeah.
It was an implanted memory.
I mean, I think it was nicely done, because I think Paul Verhoeven, and I think if you watch the, because we have the Blu-ray, I haven't watched it yet, but the director commentary, but I've seen that other people that have watched it said that Paul Verhoeven says in there that, oh, I wanted to leave it so it could go either way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff he says leans to it being a dream.
Oh, right, a hallucination.
And honestly, I think that interpretation makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense.
Because if all that shit really happened, then there's a lot of plot holes that need to be explored.
Right.
Is all I'm saying. So, you know, most of you have probably seen it, right? It deals with a construction worker, kind of an everyman, working class kind of guy. And he's evidently not happy with his life and all this other stuff. No, he has a nice job, nice apartment. He's married to Sharon Stone, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and the scene with Sharon Stone, I'll tell you what, she couldn't act.
No, she really couldn't. Yeah, and I think it was really kind of like, was she even in? I mean, I know she got real big in Basic Instinct, and she was in like a few other movies, but
I think she could act later, but she wasn't acting too well in this movie. And Arnold's acting depends on who he's playing against.
Yeah.
And, you know, like in Predator, he was awesome. I think that was some of his best work. But when he was acting against Sharon Stone, when they were doing that scene together, it was almost kind of high school level acting. It wasn't believable.
Well,
and I'm going to put it on Sharon, really.
Well, there wasn't a lot of chemistry between them either.
Maybe they didn't like each other. I don't know.
Maybe not. I mean, even though I guess Arnold was... okay, here's the thing, though. If the whole thing that happened to him about going to Mars and everything like that, and Sharon Stone being a secret agent who was, you know, a plant there to, like, keep an eye on him and shit like that, then maybe him and her not really getting along, maybe that would have explained why in his hallucination he wanted to kill her and he was, like, dreaming about this other woman.
I just remember the scene.
Like,
I just remember the scene feeling very wooden and artificial.
It did, yeah. And I don't know, like I said, yeah, it can
maybe
make sense.
Maybe it was
sense.
Supposed to be that way.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It can make sense in the context of the story, but it's hard to tell whether it was deliberate or not, because it doesn't look deliberate. It just looks like bad acting.
Just that one scene feels unnatural to me. The rest of the movie, you know, Arnold's doing a pretty good job. So.
Yeah, the rest of it works pretty good.
Right, yeah.
But like I said, it might have just been the interaction between him and Sharon Stone. It felt very awkward and stagey and not really all that natural.
Yeah, in fact, looking back at the movie, when you go and see it now, all of it pretty much looks stagey. All the action, all the blocking, it looks very artificial.
That was very common.
It was
for
very
that
common.
Type of movie.
It was very much a mall movie. It was like the impression of, like, you're seeing something happening in a mall. Or this movie was produced by a mall. You know, it was very what's a good way to put it? Very corporate feel to the movie.
That is a good way of putting it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you'd think, and actually, it having that feel would actually make more sense if the shit that happened to him really happened, because it was like run by a big, like an evil corporation and all this other stuff. But honestly, it might have worked. Like, I like the movie, but it might have worked better if it was done more surrealist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Predator 1 was very organic. It was very much like a war movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Like something happening in Vietnam. That's what it felt like. It
right.
felt real in a way, you know? Felt like it was a real occurrence. Total Recall feels kind of like a corporate infomercial.
Yeah, you know that's a good way of putting it.
It's like an it has an infomercial quality to the way that way the whole movie feels and the way it was shot. And I don't think it was intended.
Yeah.
It was just like it was built to a formula.
Like, what was that other one? Was that Sylvester Stallone when we were watching the other day? Demolition Man.
Yeah.
It has a similar kind
of... Very much so.
It's very similar kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But those came out about the same time, or wasn't it?
No, Demolition Man was later. It was later.
Okay.
Demolition Man was like one of the last of these action movie, big blockbuster type action movies. That formula seemed to be getting pretty tired. Around the time Demolition Man came out.
Yeah,
you really couldn't get away with that anymore, you know.
But, well, I don't know. Well, the thing about... I mean, I think the best thing about Total Recall is the ambiguity.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that they give you, like, all these little clues and you don't really know. Now, okay, the only thing that I think suggests that the shit really happened, and some people have pointed this out, no, it really happened because... One, he dreamed about Melina before he ostensibly got the memory implant.
Yeah.
But...
And Total Recall, or the Recall, not Total Recall, what's it called? The company.
The company was just called Recall.
Yeah, the company was called Recall. The Recall company had photos of all the secret Martian artifacts.
Yeah.
In the background, you see that plant.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, if he goes there... And they specifically say, okay, here's the Mars package, and here we have a new variation of it where you can go as a different character. We have like an ego trip.
Yeah, it's called the ego trip.
Yeah, so you can go as a spy.
Right.
And like everyone's going to be killing you, trying to kill you, and like you'll meet a beautiful, mysterious woman or an exotic woman or whatever. Yeah,
they ask him, you know, are you gay? Are you gay? Are you straight? Okay, what kind of women do you like? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they show Melina appearing.
Right. So yeah, obviously, I mean, if it was real, how would they have a picture of her? And here, the thing too is that, yeah, he dreamed about her before he supposedly got the memory implant. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing though, I'm pretty sure I'd have to watch this again, but I'm pretty sure that when he goes in there and they start to give him, you know, the first, because I guess they do it in stages, right? Mm-hmm. They give him kind of a thing that makes him go to sleep before they put the implant in or stuff. So when he's starting to go to sleep, that's when they're showing him, you know, pick out the woman you want.
Right.
Now, when the woman first comes up on the screen and he says, oh, I want a brunette, and she's like sleazy and demure, which I thought was very funny. But it looks like a generic woman, and then it resolves itself into her.
Yeah.
So I feel like from that point forward, we're seeing everything from Arnie's perspective. So we're seeing everything from his fantasy.
Yeah, and some of it could have been put retroactively into his memory, too, about his friends at work watching him and watching all
of
them.
And you know what's weird is that I never saw anyone else point that out.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know, if a company is capable of implanting memories...
Yeah, they can implant false memories.
They can implant false memories of you that happened before you even went there.
Yeah, they give you a new history.
Right. So they could have implanted a memory of...
You remembering something that happened before you went to Recall.
Right, right. You know, because some people have said, oh, well, his friend at work that warned him against going to Recall, like, gave him, like, a weird, dirty look or something like that. But it was like, well, one, that doesn't necessarily mean that...
No, he could have remembered that. That could have been an implanted memory.
Yeah, that could have either been an implanted memory, or that could have just been, like, a misinterpretation. Like, that look could have meant pretty much anything.
Right.
It could have just meant, oh, well, I think he's going to go anyway, dumbass. I told him not to go because of the whole lobotomy thing.
But the whole thing, you can pretty much resolve the whole thing. It was written, the movie was written to be interpreted kind of either way. Be kind of ambiguous. But really, a realist would say, no, that was a hallucination.
And honestly...
If you want to be a realist, you have to say it's a hallucination.
Yeah, but that's kind of the cool thing about it. And that's kind of a difficult thing to do, is write something where two, you know, opposite interpretations are possible. But like I said, I mean, a strict reading of the movie, I really don't think that any of that shit could have happened in real life. Because like I said, there's not only the whole thing with Melina being in the computer at Recall. There was also all the pictures that they showed in the background. Oh, and one of the texts says, oh, blue skies on Mars. That's a new one or something like that. And that's exactly what happens at the end of the movie.
Right.
You know, when the movie ends and he sees a blue sky on Mars because he opens up or he starts the Martian engine or whatever that gives Mars an atmosphere and the sky turns blue. And, you know, and also there are pictures in the background at Recall when he's getting the implant that show the quote-unquote secret Martian artifact, right, which supposedly nobody on Earth knows about.
Right.
Because they were just saying, oh, well, they found new Martian artifacts, so we added that to the package.
Yeah, and in his hallucination, when the guy from Recall appears to talk him out of his ego trip, remember? That guy foretells, he predicts everything that happens.
Everything that's going to happen, yeah, for the rest of the movie.
And Mulhagen are going to be best buddies, you know, all that kind, yeah, of stuff. All that stuff does happen.
Right.
So he's tripping. It's an ego trip.
Yeah. And some people have said, oh, well, that when the doctor shows up and tries to get him to take the pill to talk, mm-hmm, him out of it, oh, the thing of sweat goes down his head. And, yeah, if he wasn't real, then why would that sweat be there? I said, yeah, but you're seeing everything from Arnold's perspective.
Right, yeah.
And Arnold is not seeing things as they really are.
No.
He is either, and even with the hallucination interpretation, there are actually two possibilities. There is the possibility that the memory implant or the ego trip is working exactly as planned,
yeah,
and that all these things, like the doctor coming there, were pre-programmed to, yeah, make it seem more realistic.
Yeah. Now there's the theory. Tell me about the theory at the end with the flash of white.
Oh, well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so that's one possibility. Now, the other possibility is that what the doctor says really happened, that they implanted the memory and then Arnold's own fantasies or his schizoid embolism, quote unquote,
yeah,
made the program go awry.
Right.
So if they don't get him back out, then he's going to have to be lobotomized, just like the other guy that his buddy at work told him about.
Right.
And when Arnold first goes to Recall and asks about the lobotomized guy, they don't deny that that happened.
Yeah, they just say it was ancient history.
Yeah, they, yeah, say it was a long time ago. And every now and then it happens where we can't pull people out of the fantasy and you have, right, to end up lobotomizing them or they, you know, they'll never be normal or whatever. So now if this interpretation of the hallucination is correct, if indeed Arnold's brain did start to build upon this memory implant and made everything go crazy, like go in a way that it wasn't supposed to go, and if that doctor came and that was correct, that he was saying, you know, you have to let us get you out of here or you're never going to be able to get out of this fantasy. If that was what was really happening, then at the very end of the story, you know, where he says, oh, what if this is all a dream? And Melina says, well, then kiss me quick before you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the screen, right before the credits, the screen goes white, not black. Now, in movie technical terms,
mm-hmm,
fading to white usually means dream,
okay,
or flashback,
right,
I guess. So some people have said because they specifically faded it to white and not black, then that means that Arnold got lobotomized.
Right. Wow.
And I mean, I think that maybe, okay, there are two reasons I think that that's probably why. One, because why would they have brought up the other guy that got lobotomized at the beginning of the movie if that wasn't what they were hinting was going to happen to Arnold later? I mean, right, otherwise there wouldn't be any reason to bring that up or even write it into the story. And two, Verhoeven was a very big fan of putting downer endings in his movies, but, yes, not overtly.
Right.
You know what I mean? He liked to sneak downer endings. So I kind of feel like maybe he did that, like, just as a little bit of a, like,
yeah,
you know, it seems like a happy ending because he got the girl and he saved the planet and stuff like that. But because the whole thing was a hallucination and because the fantasy had gone on so much that Arnold would never be able to get back out of the fantasy, that they just lobotomized him and chucked him in the scrap heap.
That's probably what happened.
That's kind of what, yeah, I feel like my interpretation is. And sorry if I ruined the movie, yeah, for anybody. It doesn't have to be that. I'm just saying.
You can look at it either way.
Yeah, you can look at it either way. I mean, it could be that at the end, when the screen went white, that just means, oh, he woke up from his ego trip, which went entirely as planned. He was in Recall. Sharon, right, Stone was still alive. He just went back to his regular life with these memories of having saved Mars, right, and stuff like that. But I tend to think that everything went wrong.
The whole tale is too good to be true.
Yeah.
A mortal man couldn't do all that. It was the ego trip. He was tripping.
Yeah. And, yeah, see, some people have said, too, that it's like, oh, well, if it didn't really happen, then why were there all these other scenes with other characters where Arnold wasn't present because he wouldn't know about any of that stuff going on? I was like, one, that could have been just for ease of plot, like, you know, right, watching the movie.
So you can enjoy the trip better.
Yeah, but yeah, also, yeah. I'm like, if they implanted memories, and you've had dreams before where there were other people like talking about you.
There were characters and you knew what the deal
was. There were characters and you weren't there necessarily, but you know, so I don't think that really holds up as an argument.
No.
Because I'm like, well, it was just playing into the whole, I mean, if you were a spy or if you were hallucinating that you were a spy, then there would be all these scenes of the bad guys talking about you and how they were going to get you and stuff like that. Yeah. And they totally could have put that into the program to make it seem like a more realistic experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think.
It's still a good movie. It is showing its age.
It is a bit. It did show its age more than I, because it's, like I said, it had been a long time since I've seen it.
The technology was pretty hokey. Remember the intercoms with the video screens on it? That looked like 1990 technology. The cars that were in it were not believable.
They basically looked like Fieros.
They were golf carts.
Yeah.
They were golf carts. the Fiero was, I think I saw a Fiero and I think I saw a Nissan 290 or 280Z
from the 90s. I remember those cars. There.
But the ones that they were riding in, like the Johnny Cab and everything, that looked like just a little golf cart.
That's probably exactly what that was.
And they didn't look anywhere near as good as Demolition Man that came out a few years later.
Yeah, it's weird because Demolition Man, even though I like Total Recall a lot more than Demolition Man, they actually got a lot more accurate in Demolition Man as far as the technology.
Although I think Demolition Man is 92.
But, and, you know, we were talking about this when we were talking about this movie before doing the show. I was like, now, I think this is why I would never do a sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was ever in a position to make a movie with millions of dollars, I would not choose to do sci-fi. Because it's too difficult to not have it look like shit.
Yeah.
10 years from now, 20 years from now. It's a very dangerous genre in that sense. Because anything you predict about the future, and even though Total Recall, they didn't, now I don't remember if they came out and said in the movie's universe what year it was.
No, they never do.
Although if you look it up, it's supposed to be 2084.
Okay, yeah, they never show. They never,
but I don't think they ever mention it in the movie. But anything you do, it's like people are going to see that movie in 10 years, 20 years ago.
Yeah, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're all going to be wearing big fucking calculators on our wrists. Because you never know when you might need to add some shit up.
Yeah.
And all that kind of shit. Yeah. And that's why we were saying, that's why I think movies like 2001 or Star Wars or something like that work so well still.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really take it to, well, one, they kept it kind of mythical.
Yeah.
And also, the universe was so large that they kind of had a variety of different, you know, the different civilizations were different technological levels of progress.
They also never really focus in on and make a big deal out of the technology either. They just tell a normal story. There just happens to be technology.
Yeah,
there.
And I think that's kind of the problem too with a lot of quote unquote hard sci-fi is I think if you focus too much on the technology aspect, then your story's going to date very quickly.
Right.
Because, you know, that technology is not going to look so awesome like 5-10 years from now. And I can't really think of many sci-fi movies that don't look dated.
Yeah.
Even 5-10 years later.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a really dangerous thing to do. And I think that Total Recall kind of fell into that trap a little bit because, you know, memory implant, we don't have those yet and stuff. So they could have just stuck with that. Don't try not to show computers. Try not to show, you know, don't make everybody look like they have quote unquote futuristic clothes on and stuff like that. Cause that's just never going to work out to your advantage.
And the guns used in Total Recall were really dated for the time, you know, a Claridge high tech pistol, Calico M900s, you know, very much guns of the '80s.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's what I mean. It's kind of like, so it's not necessarily the movie's fault because it's kind of, you know, a risk that you take when you make a sci-fi movie, but it did kind of date some.
Yeah.
And it does kind of interfere with your enjoyment of the movie a little bit. Although I have to say that the special effects, like some of the special effects in it still look pretty good. Like a lot of the practical effects of them like disguised as other people and that kind of shit.
I got the Blu-ray pretty cheap. I think I got it on eBay for under $5.
Yeah.
Including the shipping.
Yeah.
But I must say that the Blu-ray really just looks like a good DVD copy. It didn't look like it had been remastered or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it had. It didn't look quite as good as like some of the other Blu-rays that we had. Like we got The Thing and stuff like that.
Those look
beautiful. Yeah. They look like they've just been totally redone.
We just watched Videodrome last night. We'll have to do it. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do a review of that too because I love David Cronenberg and I love Videodrome. And we just got that. And Videodrome looks great.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so the Terminator 1.
Yeah.
Got that on Blu-ray.
Videodrome, that was a Criterion collection. Right. So they take a lot of time to do and the packaging is super cool, I have to say. From a graphic designer standpoint.
Yeah, it looks like a Betamax.
With the handwritten. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would definitely recommend getting that. Total Recall, I recommend getting it if you haven't seen it for a long time, like I said, it looked a lot more dated than I remember.
Yeah, it looks like a 90s mall.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen it in many, many years. Oh, and another thing I forgot to mention was that the movie Minority Report, which was, of course, also based on a different Philip K. Dick story, was initially intended to be a sequel to Total Recall.
Wow.
And it was going to have Doug Quaid, the main character. He was going to be in it. And the precogs were going to be
the mutants from Mars,
which was actually David Cronenberg's idea.
Cool.
That was one of the only ideas from one of David Cronenberg's scripts that stayed in the final movie was the mutated people on Mars. But yeah, so later on, Minority Report was rewritten to be a standalone movie, but initially it was supposed to be the Total Recall sequel.
Yeah, so Total Recall, it's worth it to revisit.
I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, but it's dated.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Like I said, the best thing about it is the ambiguity and trying to pick up all the little clues of whether it's a dream or whether it's not a dream.
Yeah.
It's kind of a head fuck that way.
Right.
And I kind of like shit like that. I said it's almost kind of like a working man's version of like Mulholland Drive or a David Lynch movie where it's like, all the dream shit is like all symbolic and everything like that. So it's kind of like that. Mulholland Drive, that's another movie I definitely want to do. That's my favorite David Lynch movie. But yeah, so that'll do it for this latest movie retrospective. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will have more up soon. Like I said, we want to do Videodrome and might do the first Terminator and a couple of other ones.
We've got a lot of good ones
that we got just recently. They Live. We got to do one
Excalibur.
Of that too. Excalibur. Yeah. Okay. So we've got a bunch of new movies in the list. And if you have any recommendations, we will try to get around to it because we have a huge list of like 100 movies that we got to get to. But other than that, hope you enjoyed this one and we will see you next time.
See you guys.